The following podcast is a production of the Factual Data Creations Facility. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 121, Unification Nation, not. Sorry about the rough edits which occurred in episode 120. I was feeling a little under the weather and had to hype myself up to record, and I didn't do a good job at it. Can using the wrong preferred pronoun to address a fellow human being lead to arrest for sexual harassment? Well, in Wisconsin it can. Ask the three middle school students there who are currently under investigation and could be charged for doing just that. You know, this really has gone too far. Dr. Fauci, the government's health guru, whose 15 minutes of fame should have expired long ago, has been well paid, along with his fellow technocrat doctors, by pharmaceutical companies and private organizations to the tune of $350 million. A report from the Washington Examiner alleges, you know, anyone can be bought these days, it seems. If you're using Google's messaging app with the RCS feature in India, you're probably being bombarded with unsolicited ads. It seems turning off the RCS chat features within the app is the only way to stop this intrusion. And finally, are you ready for the looming monkeypox epidemic? Just remember, kids, diversity is our greatest strength. And also remember, diversity leads to fragmentation. Tech news. Peloton, yes, them again, has won a coveted government contract which will provide congressional staffers and all members of the Capitol Police with either free use of the Peloton digital app or a full-blown subscription to the Peloton service. This will cost taxpayers up to $120,000 per month. While the rest of us are battling inflation, it seems the elite in Washington, D.C. are, as usual, taking care of their own. Cryptocurrency had a bad couple of weeks lately, with many losing millions of dollars as its value tumbles. While a decentralized monetary system is, in my opinion, a good thing, just don't fool yourself into thinking that the powers that be will continue to allow it to exist. And don't think that transactions using a decentralized monetary system is private and secure. Hacks and arrests have proven this. The government is moving to regulate this system into oblivion. The only digital currency that will be tolerated is the official government variety. The better to control you with, my dearies. Google files for bankruptcy in Russia. The Big G's Russian affiliate filed for the protection after having its financial assets seized there. Tit for tat for seizing Russian assets here and around the world because of the war in Ukraine. I'm not even sure if such seizures are entirely legal, but hey, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just an old fart with a microphone. Update. Google has officially withdrawn from doing business in Russia. I mean, what else could the company be expected to do? More bad news for embattled communist Chinese tech companies, Huawei and ZTE. Canada has finally joined the list of Western nations who have banned the CCP-controlled company's gear within vital communication networks. Whatever you thought of Trump,
you're fired.
You have to give him credit for starting this ball rolling. I believe we all dodged a bullet here. Tech I'm using. I saw an article somewhere on the intertubes last week about a new browser for conservatives. It's called Tusk, so I ambled over to the App Store to give it a try. Well, it's not really a browser in my opinion. It has no search capability, though the company is promising this for the future. What Tusk really is a news aggregator that taps all the so-called conservative news organizations for content. Fox, The Daily Wire, and Breitbart are included in these sources. I guess this would be good for people who can't or and maybe won't download the separate apps to get their news fix. I've already deleted it from my phone. One of the gifts I received for my last birthday was an Apple MagSafe battery pack. I used it shortly after that on a trip I took later that month. Though it did what it's intended to do, it was very slow. After that trip, I put it away thinking I would hardly use it because the battery life on my iPhone 13 is pretty darn good. Also, the only color the battery pack comes in is white, which is a distraction in my opinion. Because my lovely wife takes long air trips every once in a while, I gifted her one for Christmas. Well, fast forward to this month, I'm watching a video on YouTube from Apple Insider explaining how to update the firmware of the thing so it can charge your phone faster. To update, you can just leave it attached to your phone to receive it, but that can take up to a week, or plug it into an iPad or a Mac and you'll be updated in about 5 minutes. And of course, that's what I did for both of our battery packs. While watching the video, I noticed that the host had a case for his MagSafe charger, so I took a look on Amazon for some. I found plenty of black-colored cases available and decided on one from a company, well, I won't even attempt to pronounce it, but it's spelled D-H-I-J-K-L. It's a TPU shell-type case and fits the battery pack perfectly, and you get two for $10.95. Finding a case that matches my wife's Project Red iPhone was a totally different story. I found exactly two cases that would match that color, deciding on a silicone-type case for $7.99 from a company named Inspito. The case was kind of hard to put on, but it looks good and functions well. I now use my MagSafe battery pack every day, and it keeps my iPhone well-charged while safely charging the phone's battery. There's been reports that third-party chargers weaken iPhone batteries. I don't know how true that is, but I didn't want to take the chance. Entertainment news. A leaked memo from streaming giant Netflix to their employees states that employees who don't like or are offended by some of the entertainment projects they work on, or offended by things that are already on the streaming service, should look for other employment. The company claims to have a policy that lets customers choose what to watch, not certain types of employees making those decisions for them. Perhaps this will stop or at least slow down the political hard left turn Netflix has taken recently. See what a decline in subscriptions and therefore revenue can do? You know the old saying, go woke, go broke. The old fart household has Netflix on the old chopping block. There's just nothing worth the subscription price on the service as of late. Hey, are you following the Johnny Depp Amber Heard civil trial?
No.
Well, neither am I. I wonder why people are so distracted with this. All you have here is two rich script readers who could give a hoot about you going after each other. Whoop-de-doo. Podcasting news. Well, there's nothing much going on in the world of podcasting this week. I kind of think we've seen the peak of this now overcrowded space. The numbers for my show have never recovered from last year, and to be honest, they probably never will. I'll keep making this show because I like to, and I do have a handful of regulars that appear to like it. I was pleased with the numbers I got from my two filler episodes, Straight from the Desk and Straight from the Desk 2. They performed a lot better than previous attempts at these types of episodes, which bodes well for a daily version in the future. For the first time in a long while, National Public Radio, better known as NPR, has fallen out of the Edison Top Publisher list. Has the public finally tired of snooty, opinion-driven drivel constantly output by this biased organization? One can only hope. If you are at all interested in the happenings in poor, war-torn Ukraine, I'd like to recommend Ukraine, the latest from the Telegraph. I listen to a bunch of Ukraine war-dedicated podcasts, and this is the best in my opinion. Just the facts with no bias, though the announcers are sympathetic to the Ukrainian cause. Now, what would this podcast be without a rant or some sort of rant? A lot of political things happened this week. First, the Ministry of Truth, better known as the Misinformation Governance Board, was put on quote-unquote pause, and its nominal head, Nita Yankelwitz, resigned. The news was broke from a Washington Post article by the left-wing, people-doxing, opinionated journalist Taylor Lorenz, who blamed the downfall of the board on, wait for it, right-wing news organizations and the right-wing part of the internet, whatever that may be. Now, people on both sides of the political divide had come out against this, but hey, the odious Ms. Lorenz knows her audience well. It didn't help that Ms. Yankelevich had left an embarrassing footprint on social media on which she herself had spread disinformation. Now, don't think this will put an end to this information control board. It will operate below the radar using behind-the-scenes political pressure, hey, just like it is being used currently. Then we have the current administration begging for money to battle COVID.
China.
Have you noticed that while a U.S. citizen needs a vaccine and a negative COVID test to return to this country, an illegal immigrant just has to traipse up to the border and say they want asylum and, hey, they're allowed in. And just wait for Title 42 to expire. So, my question is COVID any different on the borders of this country for non-citizens than it is for citizens?
No.
Please, let me know. And, of course, everybody heard about the mass shooting up in Buffalo by a deranged racist teenager. In itself, it's not a political event, but it's turned into one. Funny that in episode 119, I foretold of a white supremacist incident happening soon. I'm not saying it was a false flag, but if an idiot with a microphone can predict some kind of an event, why can't our federal law enforcement agencies? Unless it was all primed, if you catch my drift. Of course, the puppet-in-chief directly to Buffalo and repeated the usual white supremacist garbage that they always trot out at times like these. When a racist man of African descent shot up a New York City subway car a couple weeks back, maybe a month back, there were no special trips here nor any condemnations. That story was dead within the MSM as soon as the perpetrator's non-white status was revealed. And I'd like to point out about the shooting in California where a Chinese man with ties to the CCP shut up a church full of Taiwanese. Why was the guy even in this country, and why was this story as dead as the New York story after the race reveal? Are you seeing a pattern here? Well, I'll tell you what it's all about. It's all about the money, like everything else in this world. The music is playing, and episode 121 will soon be a thing of the past. The episodes are a little short these days because I'm working 6 days a week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you and hope you found it worth your while. You can always contact me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com if you're so inclined. You can tell me what things you liked or disliked about the show. I'd love hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Man, is it hot. So why don't you guys do me a favor and just go to the beach and first get off my lawn. I'm out. I'll see you next week. Take care.